Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You guys ready?
We're ready.
We're ready.
Yep. I think we got a couple new ones for you tonight. So,
are you all ready to have some fun and worship the Lord tonight?
I am.
Yes.
All right. Mind of its own, Cheryl.
I pushed up.
He was running away.
Yeah.
Power, power, wonder-working power.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. You might want to take notes tonight. Have a pocket lunch or something. We've been talking a lot about humility. We've been talking about line of authority. And tonight, I'm going to go through some things in a way that may seem backwards to you. Stuff you've heard, some stuff you haven't heard. But it's needful. We'll start with Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Now, Paul wrote this letter, among other letters, and I want you to turn. And Paul was given the revelation on the kingdom of God. I want you to turn to Ephesians. Chapter 3. Paul is praying, and he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to look at that. That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. That's four things in it. So he's not talking about this world. We live in a three-dimensional world. He's speaking here of the kingdom of God, that fourth dimension, that four-dimensional place. He wants you to understand it. God wants you to understand it. God wants the church to understand it. Now, let's go to Hebrews 4. Verse 11. And And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Ephesians. What did I say? Well, we're in Ephesians. Yeah, you should have known that. It's a test, right?
You just checked to make sure we had our Bibles.
That's right. We're just making sure you got your Bibles open. Verse 11 in Ephesians. I started to say it again, didn't I? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's five offices. And these five offices are to perform the following three tasks. Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who is qualified to perfect the saints? Apostles and prophets. I've been all over this country, and I've spoken to pastors all over and read this verse and asked them, who is qualified to perfect the saints? And never, ever have I ever had one single pastor say the apostles and prophets. Never, not once. They'd say, we are. And I'd say to them, really? When did God reveal to you his mysteries? Go back to chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. What was that dispensation? God called him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to him and called him. And he learned the gospel and everything to do about the gospel directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ. He didn't travel with the other disciples. In fact, he persecuted the disciples. He persecuted the church. He was standing there agreeing and holding the clothes when Stephen was stoned. And yet God called him out and said an interesting thing. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it not hard to kick against the pricks? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? Now, what is interesting about when he said to Paul, is it not hard to kick against the pricks? The pricks were an implement used to train oxen. And when you put together a yoke of oxen that were new to the yoke, you put these stakes behind them with little pointy sticks on them. And if they kicked, they got stabbed and they learned real quick not to kick. Amen? Now, you don't put another man's yoke, oxen in your yoke. You put your oxen in your yoke. Paul belonged to God from the beginning. Let's go for a moment. I know this is different. I've never done this way before. Go to chapter 1. Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It was God's will. Paul didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't have a thing to do with it. to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This letter Paul wrote first to the saints at Ephesus. This limited to a time, a place, and a people. And then he went on to say, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the faithful. That takes time out of the continuum. That leaves space for the faithful in Christ Jesus now. Now, many people come up with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of teachings. I mean, you got people running around and they're saying, do you believe in the Calvinistic theory or do you believe in the Arminian theory? And I had a church group ask me that one time. They had called me over and asked me to come and be examined by them because they wanted me to be part of their ministry. Turned out what they wanted was the ministry that I was doing. They wanted to throw me out, take over because it was prosperous. But I went. I said, okay, I'll go sit down with you. So they asked me, do you believe in the Arminian theory or the Calvinistic theory? I said, making it simple, are you asking me if I believe once saved, always saved, or once saved, you can die and go to hell? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I said, yeah. They said, what do you mean, yeah? You got to be one or the other. I said, no, I don't. I believe in both in the proper context. Anybody remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? Huh? Man went out and sowed, had his servant sow good wheat in the field, good seed, and here along comes the thief at night and sows the tares. The good seed is the elect seed. The tares are the seed of perdition. The field is the seed of Adam. See, you can't tell an elect seed from the seed of Adam. And you can't tell a seed of perdition from the seed of Adam. Because they're both planted in the seed of Adam. That's why they didn't recognize Jesus. He came as the seed of Adam. Do you hear what I'm saying? To them, he looked just like another man. So they missed it. And they couldn't tell that Judas was the seed of perdition because he looked just like another man. But when the seed grows up and starts to produce fruit, now you can tell the difference. Because the good seed points up toward the sun and reaches for the sun and it's golden in color. And yet the seed of perdition, it points down, those tares point down to the earth and they're purple and they're poison and they will kill you. Somebody asked me one time, how do you tell a real prophet from a false prophet? And they were surprised by my answer. I said, they both, when they prophesy, the prophecies come to pass. When the false prophet prophesies, his prophecy will come to pass. Scripture says, if the prophet prophesieth, and it cometh to pass, but he saith unto thee, let us follow after other gods where ye have not known neither your fathers before him, thou shalt kill him. For he has prophesied to turn thee away from the Lord thy God. Now, if the false prophet prophesies and it comes to pass. And the true prophet, for it says, if the prophet prophesies and it cometh to pass, thou shalt hear him. For he is prophesied of the Lord thy God. So if the false prophet's prophecies come to pass and the true prophet's prophecies come to pass, how do you tell the difference? One always points you to God. Never to himself. Always to God. And the other will point you to himself or glorify you. I've been in churches. When I walked in a church and I hear somebody get up and they say, thus saith the Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you. You are my beautiful people. You are my jewel. I am so grateful for you and I just want to puke. Because that's not God prophesying. I've been in some of those churches, and when they'd get up and do that, and the Lord would have me stand up, they'd throw me out. Because I'd tell them the truth. I'd tell them what the Lord said. You're hard-hearted and stiff-necked. You want to do your thing, but you won't follow me. You want to be touchy and feely, and you want to think you're a bride, and you're a little girl that I'm going to woo. But I'm not, saith the Lord. For my body is the church, and it's a body, it's a man, it's not a female. And they get mad and throw me out. And that's all right. That's okay. I went back to one church and bought a Burger King hamburger at the altar. There was one church in South Carolina, Pentecostal church. A man tried to get me to go to that church and talk to the pastor for months. Finally, I did. It was a prosperous church. And we stood and talked for hours. And he rejected everything I had to say. We went back a month. He went back a month later. It was gone. It was gone. Pastor was gone. It was gone. Churches today don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that this country is going to hell in a handbasket because of the pastors. They don't want to hear that, that the pastors would do its their jobs. There wouldn't be the drug addiction that's going on today. There wouldn't be the homosexuality that's going on today. There wouldn't be the crime that's going on today. And we wouldn't have a bunch of criminals in Washington, D.C., selling you out because the preachers have done something very stupid. They didn't pay attention to what Jesus said when Jesus said, take heed, beware of the leaven of Herod and of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they didn't perceive that the Pharisees were the false teachers. And Herod was the government. And the first thing they teach you in cemetery or seminary, the first thing they teach you, if you're going to be a pastor, is to incorporate your church. You've got to incorporate it. And yet they don't teach you that when you do incorporate that church doesn't belong to God. It belongs to the government. It's God is the government. And churches are just now starting to wake up to it. I've been preaching it for 40 years, but they wouldn't listen. Some of them are finding out now. They had a deal at one university, Christian university, didn't allow dating. And it hit the fan when it was a black and a white dating. And they said, no dating. But because it was a black and white, all of a sudden it's a race crime. And the state came in, closed them down. So much for freedom of religion. The courts just now ruled, just recently ruled, that if you're a corporation, you have no freedom of religion. Corporation has no freedom of religion. So where does that put 99.9% of the churches out there? They don't realize. I mean, these so-called pastors that are supposed to perfect you say, oh, you want to get married? Well, you got to get a marriage license. And then I'll sign it, and you'll be married before God. But they fail to tell you the God they're talking about is government God. Because when that pastor signs that piece of paper, which is a contract between you and the government, not between you and God, it's a contract between you, your wife, or your husband, and the government, he signs it as an agent of the government, not as an agent of God. And that's why the government can come in your house and take your children without due process. And that's why they can come in and take, not only take your children, but then not let you know who is accusing you. Which is against the Constitution, which means nothing anymore. Why? Because pastors won't stand up and tell the truth. But you know what? Pastors can't tell the truth. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. They can't tell the truth because they don't know the truth. They rejected the truth a long time ago. Let's go back here to verse 4, chapter 4 again. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till, in case some of y'all don't realize, Elizabethan till means until. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Name me one church out there that fits that description. Ours doesn't even fit it. You got these people out there preaching and teaching that you're the bride of Christ. You're not the bride of Christ. New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. And when you go to Revelations and you read that, you'll see that the church is standing with Christ waiting for the bride. But they want to go out there and get this touchy, touchy, feely, feely thing going on. They want to tell you how good you are, how special you are. God has a special purpose for you. No, he doesn't. He's got his own special purpose. And you can be part of it if you want to. Amen. I've got an anointing. The Lord has given me an anointing. Really? Tell me, which of the seven angels of the seven churches are you? Huh? What do you mean? There are only seven anointings. Only seven. And if you have any anointing, it's one of those seven. That is, if it's a God, if it's not, it belongs to the other dude. Now, look, let's go back here, chapter 3 again. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Watch verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy pastors and teachers. Oh, it doesn't say that? You mean I misread that? I got it wrong? Good. I'm glad you're watching. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets. He doesn't reveal his mysteries to the evangelist or to the pastor or to the teachers. Say, preacher, I don't want to hear this. I don't like it. I don't care if you like it. You can hate me. You can hate what I say. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. The churches have done away with their apostles. They've done away with the prophets. You got these idiots in seminary. And let me tell you something. I know a little bit about this. See, I've been around a little while. Back during the Vietnam War, they would draft anybody to go over there and fight. It didn't matter if you wanted to go or not. The only way to get out of it was to be in college. Get this now. You don't believe me, you go research it for yourself. During the Vietnam era, college, what they call admission, went like crazy, but especially among the seminaries. The seminaries went wild with enrollment. Why? Because they take anybody. They wanted the money. So what'd they get? They got people who not only were cowards, but weren't smart enough to pass the grade to get into a regular university. So they got a bunch of stupid cowards. And then the seminaries taught them how good they were and how smart they were and how wonderful they were. And they believed it. And then these guys graduated and they went out in the world and they couldn't make it as pastors because back then the church people knew more about the Bible than these pastors did and threw them out. You know, an interesting story about Billy Graham. He went down to Palatka, Florida and went and preached in a church down there. They threw him out. That's how bad he was. They got rid of him. He goes over to California and two newspaper men decided to make a bet between themselves that they could make him the most famous preacher in the world. And they proceeded to do that. But they had a price on it. They had a price tag. I'll talk about that another day. Billy Graham didn't work for God. He worked for the Roman Catholic Church. He came to Orlando, Florida, and was going to do a big old revival there. And got all the churches to give their money and just put it all together. And they were going to go, and anybody that came, they were going to give these tickets out to all the churches. Not one of those churches got a single ticket. They all went to the Roman Catholic Church, every one of them. Say, how do you know? Because my parents were involved in it. And I told them it was going to happen before they ever got involved. But they didn't believe me. But after it was all over with, they believed me. So these guys, they couldn't make it in the world. So what do? They went back to the seminaries and became teachers. This may offend somebody. It may offend some people. I don't really care. If you love God and you want to know the truth, you'll listen and you'll go and research it yourself. And you'll find out what I'm telling you is the truth. The only people qualified to perfect the saints are the apostles and prophets. And when you do away with them, you lose your communication with God. And then goes on down here. See, I'm going to turn, back over here on verse 4, chapter 4 again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. This hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened. I see it starting to happen here. But it hasn't happened here yet. And that tells me that until that happens, there are still apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You can't say God has no apostles today and then turn around and say he has pastors. He's either got them all or he doesn't have any. And the job of perfecting the saints is the job of the apostle and the prophet. The work of the ministry is the job of the pastor and the evangelist. The evangelist chases them into the church and the pastor hogties them and keeps them there. And then the teacher's job is to take those things taught by the apostles and prophets and faithfully teach them to others. Now, go back to chapter 1 here a minute. We read here in verse 1 that this was read to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, you think God's going to open up the truth of his word to the unfaithful? No. He's not going to do it. He's only going to open up the truth of his word to the faithful. So let's read something here. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had authority to say that. It was not presumptuous on his part to say that. He had the authority to say it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I've gone all over the country, like I said, and I've talked with pastors. I've sat down and talked with them. And I ask them, explain that verse to me. And every single one will say, well, God's given us all spiritual blessings. Really? God gave you all spiritual blessings? Well, yeah. I said, well, good. What are they? Huh? Simple question. You know, it's a simple question. If he gave you all spiritual blessings, tell me what they are. Don't know. I said, isn't that amazing? I said, I got all kinds of stuff, and I know what it is and where it is. I know exactly what I've got and where it is. Now here he's saying God gave you all spiritual blessings. What are they? You don't know. Maybe you don't have them. I know what they are. I know what all spiritual blessings are. Why? Because he gave them to me. I not only know what they are, I know how to use them. I said to the preacher, who is the us here? Well, it's all of us. Really? Now, I can read down through this whole thing. I can read the whole thing. But I want to try to speed it up a little bit. So I'm going to just jump over. I want you to read it all yourself. Well, let me read a little bit of it. And I'm going to read it and amplify it as I read it. Okay? You mind if I do that? Good, because I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to amplify it a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, the apostles, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he, God, hath chosen us, the apostles, in him before the foundation of the world, that we, the apostles, should be holy and without blame before him, that is God, in love, having predestinated us, the apostles, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his, that is God's will. To the praise of the glory of his, God's grace, wherein he, God, hath made us, the apostles, accepted in the beloved Jesus. Do you see it? We'll say, well, it could be the others. Well, let's move on down a little bit. In whom we, the apostles, have redemption through his, that is Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his, that is God's grace. Wherein he, God, hath abounded toward us, the apostles, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, the apostles, the mystery. Oh, what did that? Didn't he say something about that over in chapter 3? Having made known unto us, the apostles, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, that is God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11, in whom also we, the apostles, have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, that is God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his, that's God's own will, that we, the apostles, should be to the praise of his glory, God's glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now look at verse 13. This is your key. In whom ye, that means you, also trusted. Huh? It's right there. Everything up to this point dealt with Paul and the elect seed, the apostles. And now he's turning it to the saints at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our, the apostles, inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his glory. Therefore, there is a predestinated seed. It is the elect seed of God. And there is a seed that's not predestinated, and that is the seed of Adam. And God has no idea what the seed of Adam is going to do until Adam does it. The elect seed are going to accomplish God's work. The only difference is they can do it the easy way or the hard way, but they're going to get it done. Paul didn't have to spend all those years in prison and on a prison ship if he'd just done what God told him to do. Because he wanted to do his own thing, he had to go the hard way. But he went there anyway, didn't he? And he did what God wanted him to do, didn't he? And I'll use another day to get into how the elect seed came about and how God knew them. You say, well, how do you know it? Because God showed it to me. All right. Now let's go to Romans 13. I'm getting ready to get done. This is probably one of the most mistaught chapters in the Bible. Romans 13. Where's Steve at? Steve, get over here and grab a microphone. You read for me. Aren't you reading yet?
Hello. There we go. Okay, I got it. Sorry about that.
Go down a little bit.
Okay. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
All right. Now, if you go to the Living Bible and read it, it'll say something along the line, let everybody be subject to the government. For there is no government but that which is of God. Now most of your translations and most of your preachers will tell you that this deals with government. I'm telling you it has absolutely nothing to do with man's government. This has everything to do with God's government. This is speaking of the government that God sets up in his kingdom. Read on.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
All right, how many people in here have ever sped over the speed limit? Then every one of you have earned damnation. Every one of you. If this is government. How many of you cross the street in the middle of the block? Then you've earned yourself damnation. If this is government. You begin to get the picture here, folks? Read on.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?
Tell that to the Jews in Germany.
Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
Tell that to the 12 million Christians Hitler killed, 6 million Jews that he killed. Tell it to the 12 plus million people Stalin killed. And we won't even go into what happened in Cambodia and Laos and what goes on in China. Are you going to tell me those governments are of God? Are you going to tell me when the government told soldiers to go into a church in Waco, Texas, and kill everybody there? That was of God? And yet Christians all over the country were cheering, yay, yay, yeah, those dirty, rotten scumbags deserve what they got. And nobody bothered to find out if what the government was saying was true or not. They just took what the government said and believed it. After all, government wouldn't lie to us. The helicopter's flying over tomorrow. Wouldn't be the first time. That's right. Read on.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
All right. Now, what's he talking about here? You remember Peter with Ananias and Sapphira? The sword is what? The word. He spoke the word and they died. And fear came upon the people. You remember the sorcerer that was blinded? The king that was eaten up with worms? These are examples of God's wrath coming on those who would come against him. You want an Old Testament example? A great one is Ezekiel. Was it Ezekiel or Elijah?
Elijah.
Elijah. Elijah sitting on a mountaintop. King went and sent his captain and 50 men over there. Said, Elijah, come down. The king wants to see. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour thee and thy 50. I think the king was probably related to some of our presidents because then he turned around and sent another captain in his 50. Elijah said, what do you want? He said, the king says, come down. He wants to see you. If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour thee and thy 50. King's stubborn. He sends another one. But this captain's smarter than the other two. He ain't no dummy. He goes over there. And he knows if he don't do it, King's going to kill him. But if he does do it, Elijah's going to kill him. So what does he do? He goes over and falls down. He says, oh, Elijah, I know you're a prophet of God, but man, if I don't bring you back, King's going to kill me. Have mercy on me. Elijah says, okay, let's go. He just wanted to be recognized, that's all. And he went back, and the king couldn't touch him. And he prophesied, and the king died over it, eventually. I can remember going into a church in Oviedo, Florida. They were going to throw me out of town and run me off. Okay. You'd say, I'm not of God. Fine. If I be a man of God, let a tornado come in this town and hit your church in the next 24 hours. If one doesn't come, I'll leave. If one comes in 24 hours and hits anything but your church, I'll leave. But know this, if a tornado comes in this town and hits only your church in the next 24 hours, know that a man of God has been here. 23 hours later, that tornado came in that town and hit that church. You think they believed? No. They still didn't believe. God would never do such a thing. God is love. that God is love. All right? Let me emphasize that for a minute. God is love. But he's also righteousness. And he's power. Jesus is the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of Judah. And there are times when God's ministers can be the lambs, and there are times they got to be the lion for the sake of my people. What's that scripture say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves
and pray.
He's not talking about the unbelievers out there. He's talking about the churches. If the people in the churches would humble themselves and pray and admit they missed it, God would turn this country around and heal it in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. But nobody's got the courage. Nobody has the love that it takes to tell the truth. All right, let's go on reading some more over here.
Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience's sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing.
Tribute is tithes. You pay tithes to the ministers that they may do the work of God. See, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I know the hour's getting late. But I want you to see the government is not your God. The government is not your source. The government is not what you look to in time of need and help. It is God Almighty, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I would rather stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and say that which is true and go to jail than be free and burn in hell because I wouldn't tell the truth. Now, read for me Hebrews 13:7. And this will finish it.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
See how simple that is? Remember, that means to pay support. Support them. Keep them in prayer. Some of you people are going back to Vermont. And you've got people in Vermont that are your ministers. They need your support. Some of you going to South Carolina. You got people in South Carolina, ministers, need your support. Some of you got to stay here and put up with me. We need your support also. Amen?
Amen?
But it says, remember them which have rule over you. Who is that? Those who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. You follow their faith. Steve's got a faith that you should follow. It's a proven faith. It's an earned faith. I think I qualify for that.
Amen.
Ricky qualifies for it. Somewhat. Paul qualifies for it. Philip qualifies for it. Carrie qualifies for it. And so does Ann. And Karen. And Robin. Keep us in prayer. Considering the end of our life. That's what that conversation means. The end of our conversation, the ends of our life. We spend the rest of this time. I want you to go back and read these scriptures. If you have questions, come talk to me. If you want to argue with me, that's fine. I don't mind. If you want to come back and say I'm a jerk and I'm stupid and I don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. Just come prove it. Just better be ready to prove it. I'm just reading the word to you, what it says. And what I saw myself. Amen. All right, Steve, you want to finish up and then let them sing?
Sure. You know, if I can just read the verse after the one we just did, I think it kind of sums everything up. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You look out here, what do you think? That's what all the churches are doing. They're updating everything. So try and make it new and all of these different things. Jesus has never changed. You guys got a song for us? While they're working on that, one thing I want to mention is tomorrow we're going to be doing some water baptisms in the afternoon. So if you have not been baptized in water and want to, read Romans chapter 6 and come see me after service tomorrow. Probably not going to be available immediately after. I have to make a call, I think, over to Ghana. But when I'm done, before we have lunch, I'd like to chat with you.
Thank you.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise.
Number 31.
There is freedom. The Lord is there is freedom.
Praise the Lord. Well, good night, everybody. We'll see you in the morning.